Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean. You're Julia Monin.
That's right.
And we are podcasting.
Ah, yes, we are podcasting today. It's a great day to podcast.
Always.
Every day always is a great day to podcast. Yeah. My life seems like that sometimes. Oh. What are we doing today? Oh, we're recording a podcast. Well, and then get 2 days off. What are you doing? Another podcast.
Another podcast.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my mom over the weekend and how she was talking about how she was listening to one of your The World is Noisy, God Whispers podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I that's the gist of what I remember.
By the way, shout out Mama Wilson.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. She's on the road right now as we speak. They're heading back south.
Right. They were here.
They were here.
Did they get a tour of the studio?
Not this time.
Oh, they've seen it before.
I don't know.
Missed opportunity.
I'm sure.
Remember when my husband came up here?
So thrilled.
And it was like, wow, this is like a behind the scenes take.
A hot room.
Yeah. You know? It's hot in this room.
Sweaty.
It is. But that was great that they were in town. Yes. I record two other podcasts in addition to this one. Yeah.
Dang.
Wow. Is right.
You really have that much to say?
No. Yes, I do. Your face. Yeah, I have things to say.
It's all right.
The Lord always provides.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nice thing about podcasts is sometimes people listen, sometimes they don't, and that's okay, right?
It is.
Like they can tune in, they can tune out, and it doesn't like hurt our feelings anyway because, well, we're just keeping the two of us entertained, and, you know, if anybody wants to listen, great.
It's absolutely.
If not, I mean, that happens.
It's all selfish motives.
I don't know about what we need. Not all that, but.
But there is truth to that. I know, like, normally on my other podcasts are maybe 20, 30 minutes an episode, and they're only one come out every month. But sometimes if they get a little bit longer, like, I warn people, like, you can just pause this. It's a podcast. You can pause. You can get up. You can stretch your leg. You can come back to it later.
Right. You can make dinner.
So don't let the hour intimidate you. It's going to be okay. Come on back when you're ready. Okay, we continue. I remember the one time I was doing, like, an online event, right? So couple hundred women or whatever are on the computer and I'm in the office by myself. You guys were all texting me for whatever reason that day. There was like a text thread going on. I had my phone because I was texting the moderators of the meeting while I was talking. And for the first time after about 5 years of doing this active, like speaking kind of stuff, I was horrified by the reality that I can literally talk to myself for a very long time without skipping a beat. Like that is what people who are not psychologically stable do, but I do it and I don't skip a beat.
You're not really talking to yourself.
There was no one else in the room.
Right. But you're still talking to them, right? Like
if
there was somebody here, right? Yeah. It's more like talking to imaginary friends, and that doesn't sound any better now that it leaves my mouth.
Anyway, it is what it is. It is what it is. God is good. Well, we have gifts. We need to use them. Right?
That's right. That's right. Don't put that under a bushel basket.
Can't lock that up.
Yeah.
Can't lock that up. You know, some people that just like sit down to the piano and just play and you marvel at that. Like that, what a gift. Mm-hmm. So they can just sit down. Sometimes they read music, but sometimes, you know, they can just sit down and play.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes with speaking, like that's what it seems like to me.
Oh.
You know?
Just sit down.
Like I prepare. I have stuff. We have things, but you know, like. Anyway, I recognize it's not coming from me. That's all I'm saying. Okay.
Praise God.
Praise God. But enough about that. How are things with you?
Oh, you know, everything's just cruising along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Lord's store. I'm just living in it.
His store?
Story.
Oh, story.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's his store. I'm just stealing.
Yeah, it's his store. I'm just checking out what's in the aisles.
Yeah, that's right. Just finding what catches my fancy.
Uh-huh.
So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Liturgically, what do we have coming up month? We're in July.
Yeah, James the Apostle's coming up July 25th. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus' grandparents, Joachim and Anne, is the following day, and the 28th. That's pretty cool. We're going to wrap up the month with St. Ignatius of Loyola on the 31st. So that's a pretty stellar week to kind of land the plane on. Yeah.
It's a good, July's a,
it is.
It's
and
a
then
great month.
This is coming out on, I think, Friday the 21st. Of course, the next day is St. Mary Magdalene, the 22nd.
Yes.
So any of you who like people who love Jesus, friend of Jesus is my friend.
Have we talked on this podcast about the St. Mary Magdalene book, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love? St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love. Have you read that book?
I have it sitting on my shelf. Somebody gave it to me.
Yeah.
They asked if I had liked it. Uh-huh. I told them I hadn't read it, uh-huh. and they were disappointed.
Yeah.
That's my story.
It's astounding. It's astounding how good it is. Like, ridiculously good. Like, I get mad. I'm reading it. I get mad because it's so good, because I can't get through it fast. And I like read a page or two and I'm like, that's so good. I have to ponder that for 6 weeks. And then I get mad. Like, why is it so good? Like, you can't read it. It's not a fast read because it's so good, because you eat it up. So I've been reading it since like last October.
Wow.
I think. And I'm not even halfway through. It's phenomenal. Wow. So Prophetess of Eucharistic Love by Father Sean Davidson, spells Sean like you spell Sean.
The right way.
The only way. S-E-A-N. I think Ignatius Press.
I think so. Yeah.
Prints it. Anyway, phenomenal. Yes, her feast day is coming up. The day after this is released. That's good. And of course, we have a lot, like there's a lot of Carmelite feasts in July as well. St. Elijah's coming up this week for us. The Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel was last Sunday. So July is like packed with great, great feasts.
Teresa of St. Augustine was on Monday.
Teresa of St. Augustine. That's right.
The Martyrs of Compiègne.
That's right.
But they quelled the tear.
Yep. St. Teresa of Jesus of the Andes, first Chilean saint, I believe.
Oh. Must be cold.
Louis and Zelie Martin. We like to claim them as Carmelites.
They're not, though. He was a Third Order Franciscan. You can't do that.
They are on the Carmelite, like as like a proper... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We do claim that is theft.
We claim them.
He was a Franciscan.
Well, maybe he's on the Franciscan calendar too. I don't know. Wait.
For some reason, this is really disturbing to me. You know, like,
I'll do some digging to see if they're on any other like religious calendars, but propers.
It doesn't bother me at all. You know, like the twofer. It's like when he professes to be part of a Franciscan, and then the Carmelites just say, yeah, we're going to put him on our calendar too because we want him. But what if he doesn't want to be on the Carmelite calendar? Nobody asked his opinion. All right, I'm going to get all like just kind of fake mad, but
yeah, he doesn't care at this point. He is.
Did you ask him?
He is in the eternal life with the Lord and has been purified of all the.
Why don't you just claim every saint then?
All the not.
Oh, Saint Dominic's on the Carmelite calendar. You know. Yeah.
I mean, they're the parents of Saint Therese, and they had three other daughters that were Carmelite nuns.
I know. You think how disappointed he was when they didn't become Franciscans?
Biggest regret.
Yeah.
I actually never knew he was a Third Order Franciscan.
Yeah. Third Order Franciscan.
That's not in our proper. Yeah. We celebrate him as a Carmelite.
Shocker, huh? Just forget that detail about him.
I purposely put the salt in the wound there on that one. Yeah.
And it stung.
It stung. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's that. They definitely are. We do claim them. We do.
All right, we got to get started or else I'm going to get all riled up about everything.
All right. Okay.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for the great cloud of witnesses that continually surrounds us. We say that you may send forth your saints to intercede for us, to pray for us, and show us the example of following you. In a particular way on this podcast, we thank you for the gift of the sacred liturgy, that it may always nourish us and draw us closer into the divine life. We ask this all through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, we are back in the Catechism.
Part two.
Part two of the Catechism. Paragraphs 1145 to 1162. How is the liturgy celebrated? Do you remember when you threw the dart on this one last week and we asked that question, what your response was?
Probably carefully or with reverence.
Reverently.
Yeah, reverently.
Something like that was.
How is the liturgy celebrated? Yeah,
with great reverence.
But it has like signs and symbols is one of the sections, words and actions, singing and music, and holy images.
Right.
So kind of like the nuts and bolts, maybe in some ways, around the sacred liturgy, but not like a real practical section. It's actually like, what is the purpose of this? And why don't we just whitewash everything and we just kind of talk at you for 45 minutes? Like, what are these revealing about what's happening at the sacred liturgy?
Sure. So the opening paragraph, a sacramental celebration is woven from signs and symbols. In keeping with the divine pedagogy of salvation, their meaning is rooted in the work of creation and in human culture, specified by the events of the Old Covenant and fully revealed in the person and work of Christ. As you mentioned, we've got like four sections, the signs and the symbols, the words and the actions.
Singing.
Holy images. And yeah, sacred singing and music, and then holy images. So the in brief paragraphs actually kind of set us up really nicely. So with your permission, I'll read the in brief paragraph for like the signs and symbols first, and then we can go into whatever else you want to. Is that good?
Permission granted.
Okay. So the in brief paragraph 1189 is talking about the signs and symbols. The liturgical celebration involves signs and symbols relating to creation, candles, water, fire, human life, washing, anointing, breaking bread, and the history of salvation, the rites of the Passover. Integrated into the world of faith and taken up by the power of the Holy Spirit, these cosmic elements, human rituals, and gestures of remembrance of God become bearers of the saving and sanctifying action of Christ. Okay, so what do you got about signs and symbols and these paragraphs that we're getting here?
So yeah, and some of the things that happen, or even like the way a church is decorated, and even what happens, like it draws into these signs and symbols from different places. So it mentions like the work of creation. So oftentimes in a church, you'll see image of vines, right? Images of branches, images of leaves. And so this is the work of creation, the Garden of Eden, right? Mm-hmm. So this is what the sacred liturgy does, is it draws the cosmos into like a focal point. Mm-hmm. And so all of creation is drawn back into God's praise. And so there we are back in the Garden of Eden, right? Mm-hmm. Back in right relationship with God. And then even like, so, and then human activity. So humans eat, right? So part of that is us eating the body of Christ. We need to be washed, right? We need to be clean. So the waters of baptism, right? That's just like a human symbol of everyday life. Mm. Of course, water is also a symbol of creation. Mm. And then things of the old covenant, right? So there was a tabernacle in the old covenant. We have a tabernacle in the sacred liturgy now, the rites of Passover, all of those things like kind of get incorporated into the sacred liturgy, whether it's the rite of baptism, the rite of confirmation, or the mass.
Sure.
Right. So it's like we're drawing, whether they're like mostly things we see, whether they're decorative or the actions that we're doing, they have a symbolic meaning, but they're not just like a symbol for the sake of being a symbol. They actually are part of the divine pedagogy, right? Mm-hmm. It's how God teaches us through these actions. Mm-hmm. Even our own, right? Like kneeling or standing, like they have a different place. Are they, yeah, mm-hmm. they have a place in the sacred liturgy.
This sort of sums up, I think, what we're getting at here. This is in 1149. The liturgy of the church presupposes, integrates, and sanctifies elements from creation and human culture, conferring on them the dignity of signs of grace, of the new creation in Christ. Mm. So these things that we're already familiar with in a sense, mm-hmm. but they confer on them this dignity of these signs of grace.
Right.
Okay.
So those three words are just great, right? So it presupposes. Mm-hmm. So these things are already there. Mm-hmm. We know them, we experience them, we live them. Mm-hmm. And then it integrates it. So it draws it into the sacred liturgy and the action of Christ, and it sanctifies us. Mm-hmm. So that anytime we see a tree now, we mm-hmm. can think of the cross, or we can think of the story of the tree that bears good fruit, right? Mm-hmm. So it purifies even like our imagination. Mm-hmm. So that whenever we see a tree, we can think of Garden of Eden. We can think of the tree of life in the book of Revelation. Mm. So.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Okay. Yes. Right. Okay. So then these signs of the human world, signs of the covenant, as you mentioned, signs taken up by Christ, and then we have these sacramental signs as well. Okay. Signify and actively present the salvation wrought by Christ and prefigure and anticipate the glory of heaven. Okay.
Right.
Okay. You know, like, you're talking about like you see a tree and it reminds you of that. So often I see like telephone poles on the side of the road and I'm like, I'll think of the cross, like, because that's what they look like anyway. So you're right that
Dang,
it does that.
Telephone pole, because that's how power gets from one place to Whoa. The next. And that's how from the cross, the power of Christ comes to us. Dang.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I mean, a lot of times the sacraments, like electricity, gives a great image for the sacramental life, because the sacraments, like we've got like a, you've got like a substation where the power is, right? And that's the life of Christ. And then how do we get plugged into that, right? Mm-hmm. How do we get connected to that if we're the the vacuum cleaner, for instance. Mm-hmm. Well, the sacraments are the cord that plugs us in, right? Whether it's nourished by the Eucharist, whether it's cleansed by grace and or cleansed in confession or mm-hmm. or the new life that's given to us. Mm-hmm. And then the electric current is the grace that flows to us through
Great
the sacraments.
Great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you look at yourself as a vacuum cleaner? Like your mission, your role is like go up and clean up dirt?
No. It's just the first thing I came yeah. that came to mind because yeah. I was like, I thought kitchen appliances, but I'm like, oh, toaster.
Right. I like that. Yeah. Like that. But yeah. Some of us. Yeah. Well, just, let me just clean this up. I don't know what to do after that, but let me just clean this up.
Right.
It's good. It's good. Okay. You ready to move on to the liturgy of the word?
Sure am.
The liturgy of the word is an integral part of the celebration. The meaning of the celebration is expressed by the word of God, which is proclaimed, and by the response of faith to it. So this would be the section 1153 through 1155, words and actions.
Right. So the whole worship is a dialogue, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a dialogue between the Father and the church. Mm-hmm. So the priest, you know, we talk to the Father, right? And then we talk to the people, right? So that's why there's responses at Mass, because part of worship is conversation. Part of meeting God is to be in conversation with them. And so that's even part of the role of the priest in this, is to lead people into worship, into a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. And so the sacred liturgy teaches us how to address God. Mm-hmm. Lord, I am not worthy that you mm-hmm. should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And so the liturgy like shows us, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, right? Like it shows us how to talk to God. Mm. And so that, so we speak to God and then we listen, right? And then the Lord speaks to us. So that's why there is this like participation in our voices, is because this is what it's teaching us. Now, right, that can become super trite. Though it can become super just like, and it, you know, like we can lose the meaning of the words. And it's like, this is just what we say because this is what we say. Mm. There's a rich biblical imagery constantly in the words, you know, and with your spirit, the Lord be with you, right? Mm. Every time you hear that, you can think of the angel Gabriel coming to the Blessed Virgin Mary and says, you know, the Lord is with you. Mm. So there's like the dialogue that we have reveals our conversation with the Lord, not just like knowing the formula, right? Like, it's not like knowing the secret word or the password, right? Well, mm-hmm. if you're Catholic, if you're really Catholic, you know how to respond to these things. And if you're not, that's how we know who the outsiders are. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about entering into a worship that's dialogical because we're in conversation with the Lord.
Mm. I love that. And to really think about how the liturgy is set up too, in terms of like teaching us how to actually live in this relationship with the Lord, mm-hmm. right? Even outside of the liturgy, but think about how we begin our liturgical celebrations, right? We begin with repentance, mm-hmm. right? We begin with calling to mind the way that we fall into, ask the Lord for his mercy. Then we move into like listening to his word and taking that in and listening to his instruction, right? Before we get to the communion rite and the sending forth, of course. So that's really beautiful to think about. That's how we approach, are meant to approach mm-hmm. our relationship with God.
And even the very last thing that people say, of course, if there's a closing hymn, there's mm-hmm. something else. But mm-hmm. the last thing people say is thanks be to God, right? Mm-hmm. Go forth, the Mass is ended. Mm-hmm. All right, let's just thank God for a minute here. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. our people's final words at Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Okay. Anything else with that section? Because we now move into singing and music
yeah.
within the liturgy. So the in brief paragraph on this is 1191. It reads, song and music are closely connected with the liturgical action. The criteria for their proper use are the beauty expressive of prayer, the unanimous participation of the assembly, and the sacred character of the celebration. So song and music closely connected with liturgical action. There's certain criteria to how we use them. Beauty expressive of prayer, that makes you mm-hmm. pause. Like our song and our music, it's meant to have this beautiful element that is likened to prayer.
Right.
The unanimous participation of the assembly at the designated moments, and then the solemn character of the celebration, this high feast of praise.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so even the paragraph before that talks about this combination, the integration of music and words. So that's one of the things that I think maybe it gets lost, that the preeminence of the words over the musical tone, right? Like, so what we're saying is more important, and what we're saying should actually be emphasized, and the melody should fit the words that are being said. Mm-hmm. And the clarity of the words being said is more important than the complexity or the how awesome the melody is, right? Mm-hmm. So you think about like some rock song that you're like, I don't actually know the words. That doesn't fly in the church because the words take preeminence. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. And for good reason.
Right.
And we talked about this, I think when we were in the Year of the Eucharist videos, we spent some time talking about music, right?
Yeah.
And the sacredness beyond that, what it's meant to be. But I remember talking about, you know, when we take these words that have great meaning and we apply them musically, like it allows us to, allows it to sink in on a level, mm-hmm. right? We know that you have songs in your head that you knew as a little person that have never left your head, mm-hmm. right? Like for whatever reason, it just is like implanted in there, good, bad, or otherwise. And so the words absolutely matter. And we want to make sure we're singing, you know, the words that are actually implanted and growing us in truth and doctrine of the faith.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So, and even like that last one, the solemn character of the celebration, right? Some music just doesn't, the melody just doesn't fit the sacredness of the celebration. It's like, this is just a child's song, right? Like, so you think about if we took a child's song and then used it in the liturgy, it says something about the sacred liturgy that this is for children. Mm-hmm. And maybe not instinctively, but this happens, right? Because people want to get kids involved in Mass. And what ends up happening is that we make Mass childish. Mm-hmm. And then the adults are like, this is for children. Why am I here? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, clearly this is for children. Mm-hmm. My mom would give this example of when she was growing up in the, in some decade, not this one. I'll just not give my mom's age away.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. But there was this song like, here we are all together as we sing our song, do 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 do, and it was just like so cheesy. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, that's what we were singing at Mass, mm-hmm. and it's no wonder why nobody comes anymore. We made it look childish, and mm-hmm. they're like, well, I'm a grown up, I don't need this anymore. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully mm-hmm. we're not doing that anymore. But mm-hmm. there's always a time to purify mm-hmm. how we are praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's got to have this. The music has to fit the solemn character of the celebration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are entering Calvary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would you sing at the foot of the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Here we are all together as we sing our song.
Uh-huh. There's so much I want to say.
Yeah, but let's just move on.
Okay, that sounds good.
But maybe even the last one mm-hmm. talks about the cultural richness of mm-hmm. the people of God. So music, of course, has a cultural thing, right? The music sure. that we listen to in the United States is going to be different than the music they're listening to in Kenya versus Japan, right? And sure. so there's a cultural aspect of music,
mm-hmm.
But what the gospel has to purify culture, because not everything mm-hmm. in a culture can get integrated into the sacred liturgy. So that's always a question of judgment there.
Okay, so can I just say one thing? Because we're not going to get into a big topic, but the gospel has to purify culture. Mm. So you said that's really beautiful, right? That's the reality is. The culture is what it is. The world we live in is what it is, mm-hmm. good, bad, or otherwise. But when we enter into the sacred liturgy, it's meant to be this elevated, solemn worship of God, right? Mm-hmm. It's where heaven meets earth. And so as much as maybe we want to bring our cultural preferences or like our own personal taste of music or whatever it might be into the sacred liturgy, because this sounds good or this feels good or whatever, it sounds like this or whatever, the gospel and our liturgies are meant to purify us. And mm-hmm. so like the bar almost needs to be raised. And like part of that is getting us out of our comfort zone and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you enter into a liturgy, you're like, I don't get this kind of whatever it is that we're going on. It doesn't sound like what I was used to or whatever it is, but it's meant to purify us and mature our palate for God, I guess. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so, okay. Yeah. Okay. The gospel is meant to purify. Okay.
And maybe just an example would be something like Labor Day, right? Mm-hmm. So Labor Day is something that I think only exists in the United States, at least on the first Monday of September. I'm sure there's a Labor Day in other countries where we kind of look to work, right? And mm-hmm. it's a day to celebrate human labor and kind of just admire and kind of wonder at what we do as Americans and the work ethic that mm-hmm. has kind of always been part of American culture. Mm-hmm. And the gospel, you know, when the church looks at that, they says, okay, there's something there we can work with. Mm-hmm. Maybe it needs to be purified. And we talk about the sanctification of human labor, about how through our day of work, we can actually grow in holiness, mm-hmm. right? So we don't just, hey, let's just celebrate an American holiday. It's like, there's something good here with mm-hmm. Labor Day. And of course, there's ways it can get put to extremes. But what the gospel does is say, we can work with that. Mm-hmm. And here's how the gospel would clarify that. Mm-hmm. This is how the church would take the goodness of human labor and then say, okay, it helps us to grow in holiness. It's sanctification of labor. It's how we participate in the work of the Creator. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's maybe an example of enculturation that mm-hmm. maybe makes sense for Americans. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of, you know, you go to a different culture, they got stuff other mm-hmm. than Labor Day. Mm-hmm. So,
sure.
Anyways.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So anything else with the song and music?
No.
No? Okay. So then sacred images.
A lot, but that's uh-huh. enough for now.
Okay. Sacred images in our churches and homes are intended to awaken and nourish our faith in the mystery of Christ. Through the icon of Christ and his works of salvation, it is he whom we adore. Through sacred images of the Holy Mother of God, of the angels, and of the saints, we venerate the persons represented. So now we have these holy images. And again, go back to what the topic of discussion is today. How is the liturgy celebrated? So through these signs, through the word, the liturgy of the word, through song and music, and now we're at these holy images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our worship of God is supposed to have images, mm-hmm. right? It's supposed to have icons. But you think, wait a minute, in the Old Testament, didn't they say create no graven images? Mm-hmm. Of course, yes, they did. Mm-hmm. But then a gradual, like, regression on that would happen, or like, what would you say? Dispensation from that? I don't know, because the cherubims were made on the Ark of the Covenant, or even to fashion a snake on a pole, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so images slowly did begin to grow. Mm-hmm. And then after Christ rises from the dead and the church unfolds, they did kind of have this issue again, the iconoclast controversy. So the iconoclast would mm-hmm. tear apart images and say, we can't do this, no graven images. And so the church has to deal with this. Like, wait a minute, we used images since Jesus was here. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute, were we not supposed to do that? Mm-hmm. And then we get our old fella, John Damascene, who's mm-hmm. on the scene. St. John Damascene gets quoted in here. And the Second Council of Nicaea, mm-hmm. I think also Third Nicaea, had to revisit this mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. And the basic thought of the church is, with the incarnation, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Now God has a human face in Jesus, right? Now we can see, we can behold him. There's a countenance. Mm-hmm. God's face is not just an idea, but his face is in Christ, who Jesus says, whoever sees me sees the Father. Mm-hmm. So we can make an image now because the word has become flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm. This quote of his in here is awesome.
Yeah.
Previously, God, who has neither a body nor a face, absolutely could not be represented by an image. But now that he has made himself visible in the flesh and has lived with men, I can make an image of what I have seen of God and contemplate the glory of the Lord, his face unveiled.
Oof. Yeah.
So good.
It is. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Where's the great sentence in here that then talks about how, like, with the saints, like the Holy Mother of God, how we enter into, but shedding light on Christ, who Christ is.
So I think it's 1161. All the signs and the liturgical celebrations are related to Christ, as are sacred images of the Holy Mother of God and of the saints as well. They truly signify mm-hmm. Christ, who is glorified in him. They make manifest the cloud of witnesses, that's from the letter to the Hebrews, who continue to participate in the salvation of the world and to whom we are united above all in sacramental celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
So we're united to all the saints, this great cloud of witnesses every time we celebrate the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
This might be most easily known in like a baptism where we invoke a litany of the saints. We ask all of the saints to pray for this child who's about ready to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, also in the holy, 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 right before mm-hmm. we kind of lead up to that in Mass, we say, and joining with all the angels and saints, we mm-hmm. acclaim mm-hmm. their song that they're mm-hmm. singing mm-hmm. forever,
mm-hmm.
forever, ever.
Mm-hmm. 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 And they're not upset about being included on like a Carmelite calendar, even if they were a Third Order Franciscan?
They could be. I'm not putting those words in anybody's mouth, you know? Just because they're praising God doesn't mean they don't have feelings anymore, okay?
Okay, I feel like I asked him this question like a couple episodes ago about like do you remember when I asked him that about like the ancestors? Yeah, we had this, like, what if my ancestors are mad about this, why, X, Y, and Z? And you gave a very beautiful response about being purified and we shouldn't make assumptions about our loved ones and what their opinions are now in eternal life. And
I, yeah, uh-huh. You're using my words against me. Uh-huh. That's clever. Uh-huh. That's clever.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. All I'm saying is he had an opportunity to be a Carmelite in his life and he chose Franciscan.
Okay.
He has chosen the better part.
Okay.
That was a personal dig. Sorry.
That was a personal dig. Yeah, this is all in good fun. Okay. Okay, so then a good summary of all of this is in 1162. Similarly, the contemplation of sacred icons united with meditation on the Word of God and the singing of liturgical hymns enters into the harmony of the signs of celebration so that the mystery celebrated is imprinted in the heart's memory and is then expressed in the new life of the faithful. So all of these things are happening in the liturgy and this mystery is celebrated. It's imprinted in the heart's memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then expressed in the new life of the faithful.
Right.
So go forth, the Mass is ended. Doesn't mean Mass is over for the week. See you next week. Like, mm-hmm. go take all of this out into right. the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think that would be true. Like, you think about all of those things in our memory of Mass, of the sacraments, are there's the signs, the symbols, the words, the songs, the images that we've seen, like those things imprint upon our memories, mm. our imaginations, mm. and they stick with us. I mean, you think about, I mean, somebody like Pope Benedict so many years later could talk about a Corpus Christi procession having a great effect on him as a child. And that's because the symbols were well-lived and they revealed Christ's presence in the Eucharist in our pilgrimage of faith. So mm-hmm. these signs, these wonders are signs and words and actions mm-hmm. and songs. Like they have an ability to teach us, to affect us, and to stick with us and imprint upon our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm. Do we? Well, we do now. We're listening to this.
I mean, I think instinctively we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's why a teacher in school doesn't just stand up and talk mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. anybody for 50 sure. minutes, right? Like you have to use illustrations, you tell stories, you just don't mm-hmm. kind of go through an organized outline for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 mm-hmm. minutes. But you actually, you do use all of these different tools to teach, to affect, to change your students. I mean, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Great. Okay.
Is that it?
I think so. Unless you have any final thoughts on any of this.
None on this.
No? Okay. Well, we're going to cross this off. I already read you all the in brief paragraphs in this section. So we'll see where we're going here next week.
Where do you want to go?
wherever you want to go.
Oh, okay. No, been there, done that. Is that one?
I think that's good. You're on the line, but there's nothing around it. So I think
Divine Providence has led us there.
Let's do that. We're in Divine Providence. Do you see the numbers?
302 to 314. 302 to 314.
302 to 314. 302 to 314. Is that what you said?
Twice.
Okay. Did you say 302 to 314?
I said 14 at one point.
Okay, I think that's what threw me.
Okay.
I think what's happening? All right. Well, great being back with all y'all. There was a beautiful quote in here by St. Augustine in paragraph 1157.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to end with that very prayerfully. How I wept, deeply moved by your hymns, songs, and the voices that echoed through your church. What emotion I experienced in them. Those sounds flowed into my ears, distilling the truth in my heart. A feeling of devotion surged within me, and tears streamed down my face. Tears that did me good.